Well, hello and welcome to Cloverdale Baptist Podcast. We are so glad you've joined us in our desire to help you to grow deeper in your walk with God and wider in your impact for Him, and in our current little series, mini series, to help you live in the world, but not of the world. And really, we're asking the question, how should a Christian be engaged in the world? And we did our last podcast on that and hope you will have that in your back pocket for reference so you can go back to that and understand a little bit about what we believe, big picture, and then a little bit slower, what we believe specifically about, in that case, homosexuality. We are living in a world that is in a mess. Huge problems, and we know because we have a biblical worldview that that comes because we live in a fallen world, a world that's dominated by sin, a world that's under demonic attack, and we're in a war against the demonic realm, our own flesh that fights against us and our desire to be radically God-centered, and with the world's system of thinking. And the world we live in now is become very polarized. I suppose you could argue that COVID had this happen, but I would think that even before that, we saw it, COVID just magnified it. We live in a generation where if we agree on politics or those sorts of things, then we're unified. If we disagree, then you clearly aren't on my team. And my understanding is a lot of this comes, I think, from the influence of the American religious right. But I've heard that if you don't agree with me on my politics, then there's a separation that is so distinct that it's even more important than agreeing with me on the gospel or religion. And clearly, my religion, by that I mean my beliefs, my core beliefs, the faith. Clearly, biblically, that is not the case. What we want to make sure of is that we are unified around the right things and battling in the right fights. The call to Christianity is a call to come and to die and to live our lives in intimacy, driven and defined by our relationship with Jesus. And that is so much more than anything we could understand from a political or worldly fight and the things that are going on now in our world. So the question, obviously, is those who are seeking to follow God, to be biblical Christians, to think rightly in that worldview, how does that influence how we view politics? How political should we be? How much should we engage in what's going on in the political fight around us? And that's a question that in our current class at Cloverdale Baptist Church, where we're looking at the world in chaos and a Christian's response, has come up repeatedly. And so we want to address it in this podcast. How do I respond to the politics, the political movements around me? How important is it who I vote for? Or do I vote? Or how involved should I be? And I think I want to start with a positive, and that is that the Bible calls us to be good citizens. In fact, I think to be the best possible citizens. Now, the way the Bible defines it, of course, but that means we should vote. That means we should have influence where we can in a way that honors God and glorifies His name and sees good the way He defines good. We should know what's going on in the world, and we should know what God desires. Now, in that, in this first, and I have seven of these points, be a good citizen, the first, in that, make sure that we realize our primary citizenship is not on earth. Philippians 3, 20 to 21 certainly defines that and is very clear, but our citizenship is in heaven. And from it, we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies to be like His glorious body by the power that enables Him even to subject all things to Himself. Our citizenship is in heaven. In fact, 1 Peter 2:11 to 12 talks about waging war against our fleshly desires and then living such good lives among the pagans as aliens and strangers, as those who know this isn't our home, that they will see our good deeds, even though in the midst of that, they might accuse us of doing wrong things and glorify God on the day He returns. So positively, we want to be those who are good citizens in Canada, where we belong. I love this country, but realize that this is not our home, and we want to be so fully devoted to Jesus that although we love Canada and want to influence Canada, our devotion to Jesus and His kingdom is a million times more than that. So be a good citizen. Vote and understand and influence what's going on around you in the smaller areas, schools, those sorts of things. Be a good citizen the way that God defines good. But realize in that your primary citizenship is in heaven and not on earth. And so we need to realize that and give our full and intense devotion to that more than being a good citizen here on earth. Secondly, be informed. Be a good citizen. Secondly, be informed. Most importantly, let me say this, be informed biblically. This is important because we live in an age where there is so much silo thinking. By silo thinking, I mean we think in line with others who agree with us, and if somebody disagrees with us, we don't even listen to them. We want our worldview informed by the Bible. This is the Romans 12:2, where we're saying, do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We want to think biblically. In fact, I think in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, this is the primary way that we are to fight against the demonic realm. We're to take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. So we need to be informed biblically first and foremost. This is, I think, the greatest tragedy in terms of the political movements around us and Christians involved in politics is so often we're informed by the world, which in just a minute I'm going to tell you we should be, but we're not informed biblically. We're thinking in a worldly manner and aligning ourselves with worldly people rather than thinking biblically. So let me say, first, be a good citizen. Make sure that's primarily a heavenly citizen, but also an earthly one, as God defines it. Be informed biblically, secondly, and what's going on in the world, or I suppose politically. Understand what's going on. Now, please, as you do this, listen and learn. The reason for this is that often I have seen things from the outside or heard things and got really worked up. In fact, last week, one of our parishioners sent me an email about something going on in a ministry that I support and actually happens in our church. And they were horrified because of what this email said. And I took a three-minute look at the email and realized that about 90% of it just wasn't true. I was on the inside of what the things were being claimed, and literally they weren't true. The fear-mongering that was occurring was based on a distortion of the truth. So be informed, not just in terms of the silo that you're a part of, not just in terms of those around you who think like you politically, but be informed by actually knowing what's going on. If you're concerned about what's happening, say, with Soji or something that's going on in the schools, talk to teachers that you know that love Jesus. That helped me immensely as I was very concerned and remain very concerned about some of the legislation that's going on. Listen and learn. Talk to people outside of your comfort zone and those that know more, and be informed. Most importantly, biblically. Spend much more time in the Word of God than in the world, but also be informed with what's going on so that you can understand especially how to protect the weak and the vulnerable. Be informed so that when you take a stand, you don't look foolish because you're not setting up a straw man and knocking it down. So be a good citizen, especially in heaven. Be informed biblically, most importantly, but also politically or culturally, what is going on around you. Thirdly, and this is an overflow of the first two, keep the main thing the main thing. I love what some scholars have said, and maybe Piper is my favorite on this, that we need to be those who are constantly helping people solve their hurts and pains, helping people that are suffering be saved from that suffering. Now, again, biblically understanding that, but I love where he goes with this. He says, especially those who are separated from God and will spend eternity in hell. By keeping the main thing, what I'm saying is that we need to be those who long to share the gospel with others, to live holy lives, courageous about what it means to be loyal to Jesus and loyal to his word, and then sharing the good news of the gospel with our lives and our lips. Listen, one of the great tragedies I see in the evangelical church, especially in the States, but it influences here, is we are much more concerned about the latest political position than we are about sharing the gospel with our neighbors and our people in our sphere of influence. I think that's a demonic distraction. So we need to be good citizens. We need to be informed. We need to keep the main thing the main thing. In other words, our relationship with Jesus, our being driven and defined by him, our living on mission for him. Listen, when Jesus tells us what to do in terms of great picture ministry vision, we see Matthew 28, and we're called to make disciples of all nations, or Acts 1, where we're called to live on mission as his witnesses. And really, the whole development of Acts and the whole development of the New Testament is this arrow that says we want to be great the way the Bible defines great. We want to be those who point clearly to Jesus. Keep the main thing the main thing. Be good citizens. That's number one. Be informed biblically and in terms of what's going on in our culture and politically. Thirdly, keep the main thing the main thing. Fourthly, Be biblically courageous. Now, notice how I said that. Be biblically courageous. We need to stand firm on what the Word of God teaches. We need to be steadfast, immovable, always giving ourselves to the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor is not in vain, or not becoming weary. That was 1 Corinthians 15:58, or Galatians 6, not becoming weary in doing good, because we know at the proper time we will reap reward if we don't give up. It takes a lot of courage to be a Christian today, to stand up for the gospel, to share the good news, to stand firm against the cultural movement, the river that's flowing so fastly. We need to be moving upstream, caring about holiness that is personal and corporate, loving self-sacrificially others and giving our lives to them and then living on mission. We need to be courageous to stand firm where the Bible stands firm, and to be humble and useful where it doesn't, and to be those who are constantly willing to serve in the church and in the community in a way that displays the beauty and glory of God. I find so many who desire to be culture warriors are not courageous enough. By that, I mean not serving in their local church self-sacrificially, not engaging in the world in a way that has the gospel center and standing firm for Jesus, but rather taking political stands that aren't quite as clear, at the very least, in the Word of God. How should you respond politically? Be a good citizen, mostly in heaven, but be one who understands that your primary citizenship is in heaven, but you're to be a good citizen here. Know how to influence and vote and be a part of what you are able to be a part of in shaping the culture in a way that shows your primary citizenship is not on earth, but in heaven. Be informed biblically and be informed in terms of culture or politically. Be one who keeps the main thing. Be courageous. Fifthly, be all in. What I mean by this is if we truly want to be those who live a life that glorifies God in the world but not of the world, we need to be those who are loyal to Jesus, who remain in the vine, who obey his word, who are so devoted to him that we are living sacrifices. I would say that when Jesus says in John 18:36, "My kingdom is not of this world," that he meant it. And when we're fully and completely devoted to him, we live for eternity. We fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary. What is unseen is eternal. In fact, Paul, and this is in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, says that that allows him to look at the persecution, the pain that he's going through, his light and momentary troubles, as he defines it in verse 16, as secondary to what's to come. Or if we went to Colossians 3, which God willing at some point in the near future we'll preach through, this setting of our minds on the eternal, the things that are to come, on heavenly things, of being so devoted to Jesus that we live in light of who he is and in light of his second coming, that we have a relationship with him that drives and defines us fully. Number one, be a good citizen, mostly in heaven, but also on earth. Be informed biblically and politically so you avoid silo thinking. Keep the main thing. Be courageous. Be all in relationally, driven and defined. Number six, be all in terms of what you do. Do it all in the name of Jesus. Or I suppose this is an overflow of the last three. Make sure that you're living to glorify God, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do. 1 Corinthians 10:31 or Colossians 3. Do everything in the name of Jesus, aligning with who he is, his character. See, if we're driven and defined by our relationship with him, then the overflow of that should be an act of living our lives for him. And I know some of you are saying, yeah, but I wanted more on politics. Listen, one of the reasons why we at Cloverdale Baptist Church spend a lot more time on our relationship with Jesus and living for his kingdom is because the Bible does. And we want to be those who understand this and live it in such a way that we say, everything I do, every breath I take, I want to be done in relationship with him and for his glory. It's a radical God-centeredness. All right, let me give you the first six, and then we'll come to the seventh, which I think, for those of you who like to fight, will engage the fight. Be a good citizen on earth, in Canada, or wherever it is you're from listening to this. Most importantly, a citizen of heaven, Philippians 3:20-21. Be informed. Biblically, most importantly, we want a worldview that's biblical, but also we need to be informed of what's going on in our culture. Keep the main thing, the gospel, the understanding that heaven is real and hell is real. Be courageous. Stand firm on what God's word teaches and in serving the local church and in doing ministry and reaching out with the gospel. Be be all in, be driven and defined by your relationship with Jesus, and let the overflow of that be a life that is devoted to him, that you do everything in his name or for his glory. Number 7, there's a spiritual battle going on, and you need to engage in that spiritual battle. Let me say it one more time. I've heard people, especially lately, talk about conspiracy theories and this and that, and this person's doing this and all these things. And I would say that 98% of those are just silly. However, it's much worse than what they're saying. And by that, I mean this. There is a conspiracy going on. We are not in a battle with flesh and blood, but there is a spiritual warfare that is going on. And every Christian must engage in this spiritual battle because God tells us to. For our battle is not against flesh and blood. This is Ephesians 6 or 2 Corinthians 10. We're not unaware of the devil's schemes. We need to be aware that our true battle is for holiness. That's against the flesh, or God-centeredness, not selfishness. Our true battle is to think biblically, not like the world. That's a battle with the world. And most intensely, there's a spiritual warfare going on in Canada that's seeking the demonic realm to distract, destroy, disorient, and divide the Church of Christ. And we need to engage in that battle, yes, with word saturation, with the armor of God, with a deep devotion to Jesus that allows us to live our lives in a way that is protected by him and by our faith, the shield of faith, that understands salvation and its importance and the guard thereof, that has a peace, a passion for peace, peace with God and one another, that girds our shoes, that fights with the word of God and the breastplate of righteousness, his righteousness, but also a practical pursuit of holiness that engages in prayer. Listen, brothers and sisters, I think that we need to intensify our fight, not minimize it. Not in a cultural way, because if we fight the world with the world's systems, we won't win, or if we do win, we win for the world. We need to actually believe what the Bible teaches about spiritual warfare. And we need to engage with our lives and our lips and in unity with the bride of Christ and be those who truly believe what the Word of God teaches. I love Canada. I am a proud Canadian. And I am deeply concerned about what's going on in this country. I love Jesus about a million times more than I love Canada. And I am delighted to be a part of his kingdom, where in surrender to him, I know in perfection, in his rule, there is nothing wrong. And I want to do my very best in this country that I love to stand up courageously for what the Bible teaches, to do so in humility and love, and most importantly, to be an arrow to the greatness and glory of Jesus and the gospel, to show others how to know him and love him and live for him. And so if you're asking the question, as many of you have asked me, especially in the last little while, how important is it that we as Christians get involved politically, my answer is, it's very important. It's very important to be informed. It's very important to engage. It's very important to vote. It's very important to understand in terms of who we are as a nation, how to best with wisdom pursue God's best in the world that we live in. It's important. And it is vastly secondary to pursuing God's glory as a member and citizen of the kingdom of God, in submission to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So may I encourage you, if you're one of those who is passionate about political involvement and influence, carry it on. But carry it on in understanding of what the Bible teaches about where our citizenship truly is. And be one who, with me, in full devotion to Jesus, influences this country to help us understand who God is, but even more importantly, live such a good life here that though they may accuse you of doing wrong, those who see you will see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he returns. Or, I suppose, put another way, would come to trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior and be saved from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, from eternity in hell to eternity in heaven. We, as those who belong to Jesus, must be those who live for him in surrender to his kingship and involved in his kingdom expansion. May God be glorified. because we care about what's going on around us, that we see all of life with a biblical worldview, and we engage in a way that helps people see the greatness of God's holiness, the glory of His love, and the goodness of His gospel in a way that they can respond in faith and full devotion.